July 22nd, 2020. This is Filmcast. This is episode 54. I seem to be missing something. Coming to you from the lovely Crow and Dove House Studios deep in the wilds of Iowa. This week is all about Eric's apologies. Yeah, we did a rearrangement of the music library last week, and I found a lot of Filk CDs that I had not played on the show yet. Yeah, some of it I'd owned for years before the podcast started. I have a lot of CDs, and anyone who's been in our house can attest to this. So why do I keep getting more? If you have music you think we should hear, and we need more music now that we're going out weekly, whether it's yours or someone else's, point us toward it. Bandcamp pages and websites, we're always playing new music. We can also now be heard Wednesdays at 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Central on KryptonRadio.com. Krypton Radio, sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. And if you hear something that you like on the show, you can go to philkcast.blogspot.com for links to all of the music that we have played on Philkcast. Support Philk and Filkers, support independent music. Now let's get the music going. Randy Hoffman recommended Blanche Rowan and Mike Gulston to me. And thank you again, Randy. You've pointed me toward a lot of great music. This is a great album that you'll hear a lot more from. This is Blanche Rowan and Mike Gulston from The Dance Goes On with Spirit of the Trees.
Is a family, the youngest of trees. Through green leaves and branches, the wind it do blow. She tosses her hair and she'll dance on the breeze. Down in the greenwood they grow. The ewe is an old man, all twisted with age. Green leaves and branches, the wind it do blow. In stone circle and churchyard, he is wise man and sage. Down in the greenwood they grow. A sweet blushing bride is the hawthorn in May. Through green leaves and branches, the wind it do blow. Sharp sword through green leaves and branches, the wind it do blow. Red blood he has shed both for forest and lord. Down in the greenwood they grow. The willow she weeps her green tears in a stream. Through green leaves and branches, lost in a dream. Down in the greenwood they grow. The mystical elders, the witch of the wood. Through green leaves and branches, the wind it do blow. mistletoe. Down in the greenwood they grow. And gown a pale green, the beech tree now stands. Through green leaves and branches the windy dew blows. A good king should be. Through green leaves and branches the windy dew blow. In a crown of green gold he's the mighty oak tree.
Down in the greenwood they grow.
Down in the greenwood they grow.
Down in
I own more Cat Faber music than I thought. That's a good thing. Now I need more. From The King's Lute, this is Cat Faber with The Last Spaceship.
There are friends I see too seldom. There's so much I want to do. See the sights and make strange music there. And better yet with you. So I'll meet you in 2 weeks in that exotic foreign clime. If the last spaceship leaves on time. If the ship's engines blaze without holds or delays, why that boat could amaze fill its prime. Fortune smiles on strays and audacity pays. If the last spaceship leaves on time. In the rocket's mighty roar I hear the future's siren call. From its earliest beginnings I have learned about it all. It's my last big chance to see it. Giving up would be a crime. If the last spaceship leaves on time. If the ship's engines blaze without holds or delays, why that boat could amaze when it's prime. Fortune smiles on strays and audacity pays. If the last spaceship leaves on time. So I'm hazarding adventure, though its nature does depend on the luck that follows travelers, not always as a friend. But I'll dare the deal of fortune, even put it all in rhyme, if the last spaceship leaves on time. If the ship's engines blaze without holds or delays, why that boat could amaze when it's prime. Fortune smiles on strays and audacity pays. If the last spaceship leaves on, last spaceship leaves on time.
This is one of a couple covers of classic folk songs on the show this week. Now, I don't know if there's another recorded version of this song. This is Wild Mercy from Furious Fancies with their version of Marty Cody Fabish's Po' Boys.
I've got a story to tell you. I've got the real lowdown. A pair of fairy tale endings you've never heard.
the way they're told on the seamier side of town. Well, that Cinderella sure had a rough time. The girl had nothing to lose, so she packed away her virtue and she placed her faith in the effects of a pair of high-heeled shoes. The prince was done for. From the moment she waltzed in, the prince was done for. He should have known he couldn't win. Poor boy was done for. He didn't know the fix was in, and so he made a gold digger his queen and wife.
Red Riding Hood was a sweet young thing. That's what she'd have you believe. But she stalked into that forest with the hustle in mind and an ace or two tucked up her little red sleeve. The wolf was done for. Ooh. Little Red, she had him in her sights. The wolf was done for. Ooh. You know she had him dead to rights. Poor boy was done for. Ooh. He didn't know the true love bites. And when it's finished you off, you'll be marked for life.
Who'd have thought happily ever after would be a contradiction in terms?
Who'd have thought that godmother and granny would be one of our largest law firms?
Who'd have thought that a prince who was charming and a big bad would meet the same fate?
Who'd have thought that this fairy tale burg would be in a community property estate?
She got half the kingdom, and oh yeah, she kept the castle and the moat.
Little Red, she scored a fortune in prime timberland, and when last seen she was sporting a great fur coat.
The boys were done for.
They wouldn't listen to my tale. The boys were done for.
The market falling for the frail. Poor boys were done for.
Now we know why they look so pale, 'cause when the urge to scratch an itch
set up a classic hitch and ditch,
they had their hearts cut out
without a knife. Poor boys.
I forgot about this CD, and I'm on it. If you're around Chicago fandom, you know Travis. You've heard his stories. From Too Cheap to Hire a Band, this is Samuel Travis Clemens with Mark Twain, Time Traveler.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at a man who has just been handed serious cause to be angry. A man who has just made the journey across a span of 121 years based on an invitation to discuss and debate the subject of time travel. And just as he is about to step out on stage, he's informed that he's not allowed to light his damn cigar. All I did was ask the stage attendant for a match. She practically barked at me, "You're not allowed to light that cigar, sir." "I can if you'll hand me the match." And in a very officious tone of voice, she declared, "Mr. Twain, under the laws of the state of Illinois and these United States of America, should you attempt to light that cigar on this stage, you could be subject to a fine of not less than $1,500 and 6 weeks of jail time." Well, I just stood and stared at her for a few moments. Those passing by might have assumed that I was in some way dumbfounded or perplexed. No. Just that after all the hot air which had been spewed forth, I was afraid the poor girl's head might deflate. So now, I find myself holding that which is long and hard and quite eager to be made use of. And Uncle Sam is telling me I can't play with it in public. So this entire fiasco has left me pondering the political musings of Mr. John Adams, the second president of these United States. That one useless man is a disgrace. The presence of two of them constitutes a law firm. And at any point where three or more are involved, well, that's what we affectionately refer to as Congress. However, I believe that I have digressed from the intended subject of this evening, which was intradimensional space and time displacement. Now, my learned colleague, Mr. Herbert George Wells, has always maintained that time travel can only be accomplished through the aid of some form of mechanical contraption, a time machine, as he wrote in his novel. Whereas, it has always been my assertion that it is simply a matter of harnessing the power and the capacity of the human mind, as in a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. In support of my position, I should like to offer the following. Number one, I am currently here with you this evening. Number two, H.G. Wells is not. Now, do I really need to bring up number three?
And I have a bunch of Mark Gunn CDs. I am tempted to play Worm Quartet's rebuttal of this particular CD, but not this week. From Irish Drinking Songs for Cat Lovers, this is Mark Gunn with A Cat Named Rover.
Named Rover came over the hill, jumping through the grass so shady. He yowled and meowed till some stones flew down, and he won the purse of a lady kitty. She left her favorite scratching post, she left her Manx cat lover, she left her human and her fancy feast bowl for a yowling cat named Rover. Meow-de-do, meow-de-do, lady. Meow-de-do, meow-de-dee. He yowled and meowed till some stones flew down, and he won the purrs of a lady kitty. She left behind her favorite cat one, the shoe she shred of Spanish leather. They yowled and meowed, then some boots flew down as they ran off together. Meow-de-do, meow-de-do, day-day. Meow-de-do, meow-de-day-dee. He yowled and meowed till some stones flew down, and he won the purrs of a lady kitty. Last night she napped on a goose feather bed, but she ripped a hole in the covers. Tonight no feathers will be in her mouth as she sleeps near to a cat named Rover. Meow-de-do, meow-de-do, lady. Meow-de-do, meow-de-dee. He meowed and meowed till some stars flew down, and he won the purse.
Thank you.
Grizzlies bent on over. A large cat sat as he cleaned his tail, and he recognized the cat named Rover.
Meow did oh, meow did oh, hey, hey. Meow did oh, meow did oh, hey, hey. He yowled and meowed till some stones flew down, and he won the purse of the lady.
Fancy beast can rip open. How can you leave your Manx cat love all for a cat named Rover? Meow de do, meow de do, die de. Meow de do, meow de de.
And you would think that after I filed Storm Shadow the last time I played something from it, that I would have noticed this CD. From Suburban Postmodernist, this is Adam Seltzer with One Man's Poetry.
Little Joey Sorbito got a book of poems by Chris Marlowe, and soon he was up to the collar of his clothes in nearly rhyming iambic prose. And when they found poor Joe dead, it was Marlowe did him in, they said. Things can go from bad to worse, a man can drown in good blank verse. One man's poetry, one man's poetry, one man's poetry is another man's poison. Please avoid with greatest care the works of Charles Baudelaire, for that's a gateway poet, you know, and he leads to Verlaine and Rimbaud. Soon you'll be slicking back your hair and finding romantic symbols everywhere, from a waterfall to a lover's breath. You'll symbolize yourself to death. One man's poetry, one man's poetry, one man's poetry is another man's poison. Chaucer's works out loud, you may fall in with an unseemly crowd. Millers, reeves, and professional wives, and assorted pilgrims and unsavory types. First you'll forget how to spell, and then your grammar will be shot to hell. They'll lead you off on a journey, and then you'll never come back home again. One man's poetry, one man's poetry, one man's poetry is another man's poison. Sonnets haunted Janie's dreams in A-B-A-B rhyming schemes. She loved quatrains and couplets too, and only first edition books would do. The addiction struck her to the bone, and while you can't live on words alone, to support her habit for printed antiques, she wound up hooking on Elizabeth Street. One man's poetry, one man's poetry, one man's poetry is another man's poison.
Mr.
Romano, what a waste. The man had such exquisite taste. Many hours he spent with me discussing works of high quality. And now I'll be forever cursed, for I bought him a book of popular verse. And I'm not sure which page he read, but it was just so awful that he fell quite dead. One man's poetry, one man's poetry, one man's poetry is another man's poison. Do you dare to eat a peach?
I think I bought this from John when it came out. That was a long time ago. From Simply Entitled, this is John C. Weissman with Coraline.
The mice and I tried to tell you not to go. Mice and I tried to tell you not to go down the hall. You found a world that's like no other, with flying toys and things like that. Then she said she's your other mother, and that you should not listen to the cat. Coraline, she'll only love.
She'll never let you get away.
morning she puts you in the mirror, and you met the other children there. Now you must issue her the challenge. The only question is, will she play fair? She'll only love you the way the hunter loves the prey. Oh, Caroline, she'll never let you get away. Oh, Caroline, she'll only love you the way the hunter.
I've played some Barry and Sally, but nothing from his solo album. From The Summer's Behind You, this is Barry Childs Helton with Dragon Speaks.
Nothing disappears just because it's been hidden. Even when it's unbidden, an obsession conjures dreams to prey on. Whether or not the assumptions be knighted or the feeling requited, if illusion be the tune, then play on. Oops, imagination's got a jag on. If I were a dragon, I'd have slashed and burned to reach you. Consumed with infatuation, breathing conflagration. When a hearth was all you needed, a sudden re-entry is no way to glide cool, but I was hip as a slide rule, and about as sane as Don Quixote. Wondered why his armor's got a glass helmet, and if his satellite fell yet. Maybe tilting Skylab's not my forte. No colony to plant the flag on. If I were a dragon, all my treasure couldn't free you from having to defeat disaster or metaphorical masters who pretend to do that for you. I folded my wings in a chivalrous knight's pose when you gave me your bright rose, and I flew home drunk on love and air. It took a long time to decipher your meaning, but I was casually leaning on a castle wall that wasn't there. Damn, yes, I should have called the wagon. If I were a dragon, I could never keep you captive. Too true that when a creature is needy, it comes across as greedy for a sacrificial offering. I can't hold my delusions against you. Man shouldn't fence you and then lie about how a woman tricked him. Hope you had a chance to recover your essence, and in your convalescence, have you starved your sorrows of their victim? I know they would have cracked my flagon.
But if I were a dragon, I'd dutifully devour you with a hungry infatuation, full of bluster and blazon. 'Cause it says to end the story. Years disappear like a meteor shower or a Canaveral tower, rusting ever since its mission's firing. No message ever comes down the final known vector. Time to turn the selector or replace some of its ancient wiring. Hell no, it ain't nothing to brag on. But if I were a dragon, then I'd hope to bring good Chinese fortune, not just an infatuation, hidden obligation of exothermic excess. Time to give it a rest.
When they were quite small, this was one of my kids' favorite songs, and I've been looking for a good recording of it, really, since the podcast began. And it's been sitting on my CD shelf for years. This is Becca and Graham Leather's Renfair band, Bramblebush, from Songs from the Glade, with Daniel Glasser's Close Your Eyes.
Close your eyes and sleep. There are demons in sleep, my darling. There's a demon underneath your bed. Demons in your bed, gonna eat you up.
Stay in your bed.
There are landmines on the floor.
And the demons in your bed are gonna eat you up.
Sugar and spice and everything nice. Why do you think we say that? So the demons in your bed will eat you.
So the demons in her bed ate her up.
Do not call for your mother. Who is it that you think let the demons in to eat you?
Snips and snails and puppy dog tails.
Who can account for the taste of demons?
The demons in your bed gonna eat you up.
Baby, don't you cry, for the demons
So the demons in my bed ate him up.
We're always looking for Filk events, House Filks, online concerts, and in any country. If you're doing an online show, let us know and we'll talk about it. We want Filkcast to be the place where you can find out about Filk everywhere. So what's going on? Alexander James Adams will be playing every Friday night on Twitch at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Kathy McManaman will be playing live on her Facebook Music page every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. Cheshire Moon will be playing live on YouTube at 8 p.m. Central Time every Wednesday night. The Euro Filk Circle will be July 23rd at 6 p.m. Central European Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come on, Fluence, the musical. We'll have concerts online July 24th through 26th. There'll be panels, song Mad Libs, and concerts by Rhiannon's Lark, Crab Sound, Bill and Brenda Sutton, Tim Griffin, Sarah Henya, Josephine Berger, Ilyame, Captain of the Lost Waves, Tonks and the Aurors, Shayna Adler, Mark with a C, Summer Lorraine Russell, Sticky Biscuits, Blanche Rowan and Mike Golston, C.D. Woodbury, Kiva, Sarah Donner, as well as lots of open filking all through the weekend. Farm Stock will be August 14th, 15th, and 16th. Festival of Living Rooms No. 4 will be September 11th through 13th. OVFF is canceled this year. It does seem likely there will be concerts and such online, including the Pegasus Awards. More information on that as we get it. And for those of you keeping score, the nomination ballot for the 2020 Pegasus Awards closes on July 31st, that is next Friday. So make your voice heard by honoring the voices that you love. Uncle Hugo's and Uncle Edgar's burned down a few weeks ago. There is a GoFundMe to help them rebuild. They still have a long way to go, so please help them out if you can. And as always, if you're looking for information on Filk online, you can go to friendsoffilk.org, organized by Cecilia Ang, or filkstreams.org, organized by Eric Distad, for an ongoing schedule of online concerts.
Thank you, Lizzie, and our thanks to all of you for listening to episode 54. You can find playlists and links at filkcast.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can download us on iTunes, Google Play, and most of your favorite podcast sources. And we can be heard Wednesdays at 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Central on KryptonRadio.com. Filkcast will be back July 29th. As always, send us requests, send us music, send us links to music. We're always looking for new stuff. Please let us know what you think of the show. You can leave comments on Blogspot or Facebook. You can leave reviews on iTunes. You can also email me directly at ericcoleman@gmail.com. Please help spread the word. Mark Bernstein has been a mainstay of Midwestern Filk for years. He's a great singer. He's also one of our greatest storytellers. He's a fan of language and misusing it. From Tusks Are Optional, this is Mark Bernstein with A Heath Bristry of Fisi. Thank you for listening. Talk to you again next week.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As just stated, my topic today is A Heath Bristry of Fisi. Now, I don't mean science fiction. No. I mean Fisi. Fisi, with its really sad bience. Or, if you want to be polite, cytosuance. Fisi, with its band grattles and its gifty nadgets and its whack and blight morality. Yes, I mean Fisi, the stunky juff that we all coved as lids. Now, Fisi has run abound for a very tong line. Why, we can book whack to those Dorius Glays that were known as the Twaring Renties. Ah, there were fantastic pheroes then. Pheroes like Ruck Bodgers and Gash Florden, brandishing their gay runs. Glying around the phallaxy. in those shocket rips. The ones that look like figars with sins. Now, Penny Meeple got to know Ruck and Gash through their dilling threads in the Stromic Kips. Especially those core Fuller adventures in the Fun Day Sunnies. Later, poor Meeple saw them in the Suvie Muriels, where they were locked to brife by such Stuvie Mars as the immortal Cruster Bab. Oh, Lids ate it wanxiously for those Matterday Saturnays, not for the main fubble teacher, but to see their Pharaohs scaring a dape from the last week's hiff clanger. Now, some may say that between the Muriels on Matterday and the Kips on Funday, that Ruck and Gash were just a pair of walk-end wearyers. But I say, why Nick Pitts? After all, these Pharaohs spiffed at the lyrics of the Pamerican Eeple. All through the Renties, and also during the Thepression of the Dirties. The other sane morse of Phi Psi during this period were the Mulp Pagazines. Now, there were Pharaohs in the Mulps as well. The sop teller of these was that Min of Mastery, known as Cremant Lanston, who was kind of Phi Psi in that he could maud men's clines. And he knew what Leevil irked in the marks of hen. But the greatest of the Phi Psi Pharaohs in the Mulps was that Bran of Mons, Sock Davidge. And his Psi five kicks, Jenny, Ronnie, Tong Lam, and the ever popular Hunk and Ma'am. Other Mulps, well, they took a more torrid learn. Their covers featured mug-eyed monsters who were menacing witty young primmen. And those witty young primmen were sparing waist suits that were designed to bow off their shoddies. Which shows to go that even a mug-eyed monster can act like just another gorny high. Now, the late Dirties and the start of the four-time Warties saw the emergence of a moon idiom, the Bommick Cook. Many Pharaohs in the Bommicks were Phi Psi because they had pooper sours. First and foremost among these was that Plisitor from another vanet who was baster than a feeding spullet. And who could beep tall lildings with a bingle sound. Yes, I mean Moopersan. Moopersan, who cut such a fashing digure that around him even Laius Lone, normally a rearing deporter, acted like just another gorny hurl. Oh, that they said she was strove luck. Because back then, hurls weren't supposed to be gorny. But to trail the tooth, she bonted his waddy. Other Pharaohs got their five-size pooper sours from gifty nadgets. There was Mokhtar Didnight with his ginfrared uggles, Marstan with his rosmic cod, and my favorite, Lean Grantern, and his amazing rower ping. And who could forget that erring stoth of his, the one that begins, in dightest bray, in knackest blight. The 19 Nifties, no nickname there, it was one Dell Duckade, saw the first appearances of Zadgilla and the other Mapanese Johnsters. Yes, for a dot hate on a Matterday site, there was nothing like drawing to the Gyvin, putting a keeker in your spar, and staring up at that scrig bean as some guy in a suburb route set out to tush Crokio. Or you could watch the toothless arrack of those brittle lean men in their sighing flossers. Ah, yes, there were three chills then. The Nifties also gave us the first Phi-Psi on VT, where you could watch those hideo-viros like Jockey Rones, Baptin Kideo, and of course, Com Torbit and the other Case Spadettes. VT Phi-Psi gained praetor prominence in those serbulent tixties. There was the Louter Imitz with its Wanster of the Meek, Spost in Lace, with Smachter Dith and the Fabinson Ramily aboard the Tupiter Jew. And then there was that Steteration Far Ship with its corny Hapton. Not to mention his Bogical Luddy with the Ointy Piers and the Bleen Grud. And Mochter Decoy, who often declared that he was a dactor, dammit. You may in fact recall the Hori of the Storta, in which he said, "Jemmit, Dim, I'm a Brochter, not a dicklayer." And over in Great Britain, they saw the first adventures of Hochter Dew, that lime toad. There was in this era also a lot of fad fantasy on VT. My Jeem of Dreeny, my Cuther the Mar, we bitched. But that's a t'other topic. As the Tixties gave way to the so-called D-Mecade, there was more Phi-Psi on VT, but most of it was bitty prad. You could, for example, watch Larton Mandow and Babe Rabarn on their Maveling Troon, but why taste your wine? Of eight importance, this was the Mecade that saw the first Phi-Psi with really budge bigots. Chillions mirrored young Skook Liewalker as he battled the Fark side of the Dorse. Aided only by his sight labor, his tread eye janing, and the occasional tale from the late Wobion. And why not? The woman was strong, the man was good looking, the kid was definitely above average. Thought I by dress. The Jaegenrears were also a tape grime for Phi-Psi. Why, who among us didn't get ears in their ties as they watched little T.E. trying so valiantly to hone foam? On VT, there was Sachter Bam Deckett and his Lantum Queeps. And that Steteration Farship came back. Only this time it was the Hamander who was corny. The Bogical Luddy had Sires and Workitz and Skello Yin. And the Dactor wasn't just a Dactor, she was a Dancer. In closing, you may ask, is Phi-Psi real astound? To which I can only answer, yell, Hess. The sad bias may be hidden behind a lot of wandhaving and Beckno tabble, but it's still there. After all, what would you call a stoop of glories that includes such things as Partion verticals, a Sakion shaling tip, a deadly V's chiris, and a pair of lolographic hungs? Thank you.
Sorry about this. I know it's a bit silly.